Welcome to our Monday morning chapel, and this is our Good Shepherd Week. And you will see that reflected in the hymns and also the readings and sermons for the week. Today we will be utilizing the Office of Prime, which begins on page 108 in the front part of the hymn book, page 108. Please join me there in the versicles and the Gloria Patri and Confession of Sin. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault, in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the letter of 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning with verse 21. We will especially focus on the final verse. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. About 20 years ago, I was visiting the country of Ukraine and happened to step out of a convenience store. And just as I stepped out, I had a Coke in my hand or something, I could hear a large noise coming at me from behind. And I turned and looked behind me on the sidewalk and the street. There were about 200 sheep coming down the road. and just walking on the sidewalk and on the road, and there were a couple of young men with sticks trying to guide them, keep them away from cars. Traffic stopped, and this whole flock of sheep just went right down the street, right around me and banged into me and everything else. And apparently they would take them into city parks. This is a big city, a couple hundred thousand people, would take them into city parks and then like football fields or soccer fields and let the sheep graze. That was one of the ways they took care of things. It was very unusual for me as an American to see something like that. We typically have everything, when there are sheep involved, with fences and so on. To suddenly have a whole flock just walk right past you was kind of strange. A little bit unnerving at first. The concept of seeing sheep around is something that is universal, though, pretty much around the world. All different climates and types of terrain, you'll find sheep all over the world. And it's interesting that Scripture so often draws upon the imagery of sheep and their need to be watched and so on, often draws upon that as something that no matter where the gospel goes in the world, people will understand and recognize some of the truths that are kind of hidden inside of this imagery. And Peter draws upon that in our text today when he talks about us being like sheep who have the tendency to go astray. And he's describing this built-in problem that we have in our hearts and in our consciences to wander away from God. And there's more than that, more than just straying off into sin and things. He's also describing in us kind of a tendency to want to remove ourselves, an urge in us to remove ourselves from the authority of God over us, from having anybody take care of us and watch us. We don't like that as far as our sinful human nature goes. You know, if you think about the great incident of the story in where Samuel describes King David walking away and going and seeing Bathsheba and then calling her up to his bedroom and sleeping with her and impregnating her, that whole account, and then he goes on to actually have her husband killed. If you had been able to be there and stop David at any point in all of that and ask him, do you think this is right? Do you think morally this is right? He would easily have said, well, of course not. The issue wasn't that he forgot that something was wrong before God. He clearly knew it. He could have expounded on it. In fact, when the prophet Nathan comes to him to talk about it and uses that little parable of the lamb, he's able to make a judgment just like that about that situation. The problem in us is not that we forget. It's that we deliberately say to ourselves, I know what God wants me to do in this situation, but right now I just don't care. Right now I would rather do what I think is best for me. I don't want God's oversight over me at those moments. I want to shake off his authority and elevate myself and my will and what I want into that place. And so this is the tendency we have when temptation often arises and it's easy for us to fall. I would be so much better off if God just left me alone at that moment. Back in 2003, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority came up with a new ad campaign that's very familiar to us. They wanted to capitalize on what they called the idea of adult freedom. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And that became a very appealing ad campaign. And the reason it's so appealing is because it deals with the same thing. We don't want oversight. We don't want anybody looking at us and judging us. We don't want to be accountable to anything. We want no responsibility of any higher power over us dictating to us how we are supposed to live. And so the further we can get away from parents or family members or spouse, possibly even government officials, we're certainly going to be better off. It appeals to kind of an ignorant impulse inside of me and you that we could be so much better if we were self-ruled and autonomous. But Scripture frequently reminds us that is not the case. And if we're honest with ourselves and we look back on the times when we let that happen to us, we realize that's really not our best interest. You know, at the top of the shepherd's staff is a hook, and it's there for two reasons. It says something about the sheep, but it also says something about the heart of the shepherd. The shepherd has been given divine oversight from God, and it's not only necessary for us, but it's also for our benefit and for our comfort and for our security. Peter here uses a title for Christ, the overseer of your souls. That's a great line, isn't it? Christ is the overseer of your soul. That he's the one that is able to take care of you the way a sheep needs to be taken care of, but of your soul. That's interesting. He doesn't just say your life and your body, but your soul. You know, at the deepest part of who you are is this spiritual engine inside of you, like a spiritual furnace inside of you that is your soul. We sometimes refer to it as our heart. And where did that come from? Did it just grow up out of you? Did you come up with this on your own? Is it something your parents designed? Is it something that evolved somehow out of the whole process of evolution? Of course not. God is the maker, the creator, the designer, the one who has come up with that spiritual component inside of you that we call your soul. And he is the one that knows what is going to be best as far as taking care of it and as far as his relationship to you. And he is certainly capable not only of creating that inside of you, but of managing it and knowing what is always going to be ultimately for your good. And so he comes through his word to us and through his sacraments, and he touches that most central, deep down part inside of each one of us, and he places us now under the care of our good shepherd, under the care of our Savior. And he doesn't do it by force. He doesn't do it by crushing us down into this. But he does it instead through the wonderful grace he's given us, the forgiveness of all of our sins, the holy, perfect record of righteousness that he just credits to you and me through faith. That's how he operates, to put us under the oversight of Christ. This isn't an authoritative move on God's part, although he certainly can do that. But this is an act of love. It's an act of grace that comes into our hearts through the gospel, the message about our Savior, and connects us to him. And isn't it interesting that when it comes to the work of the gospel, God does not use pressure or threats. He rather wins our hearts over to Christ by us seeing how amazing it is what he's done for us, all the great things that he's done for each one of us. Peter alludes to that. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, by whose stripes you are healed. That's such a great line, that he bore our sins. He just took them up. Every one of the things that might bother you about possibly being judged before God someday, he takes every one of those and he just lifts them off of you, and he carried them to the cross for you. And so our obedience and willingness to want to follow this Savior is something that is not done by pressure, but it's worked in us by God's grace. It's the new man in us has a desire to now want to live for this Savior because of all he's done for us. And the new man in us looks at our lives and says, if the Savior who went and felt my hell is willing and talks to me through his word to guide me away from things, I know it will always be in my best interest. Even though I might be tempted to override that in my sinful thinking, it will always be for my good when that wonderful Savior who has paid for my hell and has promised me heaven, when he comes to me and talks to me now about the things in my life. So by God's grace, you and I have come to be a part of this amazing flock that is moving through this world, the Holy Christian Church, on the way to heaven. And you've been blessed with faith to recognize the voice of that good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to know how special and wonderful that is for our lives, especially for our eternal lives. And so let us live in that flock. Let us love that flock. Let us try to support that flock. Let us strive to preserve it in this world. Let's try to find other sheep that we can bring into this wonderful flock so that all of us someday can enjoy the green pastures of heaven. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise for prayer. And today we have a prayer as we prepare for all the tests this week. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we bring thanksgiving before you for all the blessings we have received in our education, especially the education we receive in your sacred word. We pray now that you would be with all of our students and faculty and staff in these final days of the academic year. Relieve anyone who is struggling with anxiety and stress, and comfort them with your presence through your word. In the days ahead, as well as many leave our campus and travel to their homes, we pray that you would cause your holy angels to be with them and guide and keep them safe according to your will. We pray this all in our Lord's saving name. Amen. Please join me then in the responsory on the bottom of page 108. The bottom of page 108. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Arise, O Christ, and help us, and deliver us for your name's sake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen.